Just our culture. Every episode. Unfortunate news out of Italy and Burma with two earthquakes hitting that region. Well, not that region. They're nowhere near each other, but the town north of Italy and then the city of Burma in Myanmar. So that, unfortunate. We'll discuss that a little bit this afternoon. More Donald Trump news. Apparently he's turning over yet another new leaf. Always seems to be another new leaf that seems to be turned over, at least temporarily, right? We'll see where this one leads, but softening his approach on immigration and trying to reach out to ethnic communities to prove once and for all he's not a racist. And I managed to defend him on my Facebook page because even if I don't like someone, I still don't want them to be falsely accused. We'll talk about that. And asking a question over on Facebook, looking for some answers on this when it comes to what you support and why. And we'll get into that discussion a little bit later as well. And then the confessions of a recovering Christian know-it-all, thanks to Relevant Magazine. I think a neat insight there. We'll get into all of that and more in just a moment. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour, back after this.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost Hour, culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Reports are coming out with death tolls rising and just, you think about natural disasters. We've got this situation in our own country with flooding in Louisiana. Now two earthquakes back to back, almost on top of each other in two different places. One in Burma, one in a town just north, about 80 kilometers or so north of Rome. And these are areas that are earthquake prone, but still when you see something of this nature happening, especially when there's a couple of parallels. One, we've got in our own country livelihoods being stripped, right? I mean, there are people's places of business, their homes destroyed, and for good. This stuff sitting in floodwater as it's been can't just be dried out. Maybe a couple of years ago, my in-laws had a sump pump situation that so much rain, it just could not, the sump pump couldn't function. Ended up with just a few feet, if that, maybe about a foot of water in their basement. And half of the basement had to be removed, right? I mean, the drywall was already ruined up a full sheet of this drywall to where fortunately they could strip it down to that part, dry out the actual framing of the house, and which I think most of it was metal actually anyway, but they were able to salvage their home, but that was only after a foot of water and only after a couple of days. You look at what's happened in Louisiana with homes and businesses underwater for an extended period of time. It's kind of like what we saw in Katrina. Some of those neighborhoods never came back. They just never came back. They couldn't, right? I mean, they had to be condemned. They were not, there was nothing to salvage. So you see that, and then you see where homes are just rubble now. And certainly you look at this Italian town, ancient buildings that have stood what we think is the test of time. I recall the first time going to Europe and seeing a structure that was built in the 10th century, standing in it, right, going, wow, this thing's been here a long time. It's not going anywhere. Yeah, so what you think, well, this isn't going anywhere. It's been there, but all it takes is something of this nature, and everything has changed. And I know, because I've had these conversations, I know that there are those who believe or are convinced that, well, if something of this nature can happen, right, if there could be anything that's this devastating, especially when it leads to loss of life or loss of livelihood and what you see in these type of dynamics, if that can, quote-unquote, happen, then there can be no God. And there were those who looked at things like September 11th and says, and the response to that was to say, there is no God. There can be no God. But as a person of faith, we got to look at these situations and we got to ask, what are we supposed to learn from this? What are we supposed to understand? And the one thing that I think we all have to bear in mind is that this is a reminder, as we know but forget, right? We try to forget. I think that's what it is. We know it painfully well, but we just try to, let's not think about that. That life is short, and this side of life is brief. And what we have to realize is that's part of the equation. And no, we don't want to see suffering. We don't want to see people lose everything. But there's something about there was this thing going around like the WWJD some time ago, right? The What Would Jesus Do? And it was a bracelet, and I had one in my vehicle forever on the shifter of my older car, and I don't know, after I donated that car away, what happened to that, ended up somewhere. But it said frog, right, with the F-R-O-G, with the periods after each one. And basically it was the acronym of Fully Rely on God. And I used to do a talk around that for youth ministry, talking about how, you know, I'll fully rely on anything. I fully rely on my cell phone, right? Those kind of things. And just to kind of get the idea that at some point we may want to think about what it looks like to strip all of that away. And there's nothing like a natural disaster to strip that away. And when someone is in the very humbling position of relying on others for help, seeing the interconnectedness of what really culture should look like, it really should be at this interconnectedness, and to realize that there is nothing else that we have but grace, and that grace is expressed through the generosity of others reaching out, helping out, I think shifts can happen in thinking. Shifts can happen in philosophies, ideologies, because now we suddenly are faced with the reality of there is nothing but this, whatever this is. And in that situation, we see some of the most heroic responses. We see selfless responses. We see people being amazingly generous. And we see people who never thought that they would have to rely on handouts having to rely on people. Those who thought that they were so undeniably in control of everything now realizing that they're not. So through this pain, through the challenge, I think that there's something beautiful that can happen and always does happen. Always does happen. And it's really through these type of experiences, I mean, they're undoubtedly some of the most life-changing, existence-altering experiences anyone could ever hope to have. And generally, I think for all of us, there's usually that point in our lives, whatever it may be, where we've kind of hit that point where we're like, I can't do that. I know I can't do this. Whatever it is. I can't. This is beyond me. And then we might decide at some point to give faith a chance, right? As the Beatles would say, all we are saying is give peace a chance. We give faith a chance. And when we get to that point, that's when peace can arrive. That's when real peace, lasting peace. You know, we're still going to have anxiety. We're still going to be like, how do I deal with this? my bank account is in negative figures, whatever. Not that I know that personally, running a startup, but we still have these moments of anxiety and fear and concern, but there's something, there's an enduring, lasting peace when you go, you know what? God's got this. God's got this. Even when the house we used to live in is underwater, even when the place that we had known existed for thousands of years is now in rubble, whatever, we know we can sit in total trust even in that situation. Even through loss of life, loss of loved ones, you name it, we can sit in this understanding that, yeah, this is tough. This is not anything that we ever anticipated, expected, or hoped for, but it's what we have, and God's got this. I've been there many times in my life, where most everything looked, for all practical purposes, reason for despair, right? The only thing I really should do right now is despair. And I've shared this a number of times. One of those, I mean, it didn't affect me personally, but it affected us all intimately, was that moment of September 11th when the world looked like it was falling apart, and for all practical purposes, it was. And I remember, even in that weight of what the heck just happened, even in that weight, a feeling, the sense of something miraculous will come from this, something amazing. And I think that we know, we had, first off, our country was unified. We forgot about partisan politics for at least 24 hours. We were connected in ways as Americans that I've never seen before. And I know that there were sincere conversions to faith. There were those that opened their hearts for the first time going, wow, I can't do this. I've got to do something differently. And by having that openness, I believe lives were transformed. I know there were. I still have evidence of that, of individuals who made those decisions after something of that nature. So prayers, absolutely, we have to pray for the suffering. We have to do something about the suffering, we have to respond. So when we're given the opportunity to support the relief effort in Louisiana, the relief effort in Italy, the relief effort in Burma, wherever it happens to be, when we're given that opportunity, we need to respond in whatever ways we possibly can, while at the same time realizing that these are life lessons for us all to say, we don't know. We don't know. When we cooperate with God's grace and trust that God's got this, that's great, but we don't know where it's all going. But we simply have to say, we're going to trust, find the peace and reliance, that full reliance on God through the tough stuff. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this. Redbox Media, now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our friend of the show, Opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a friend of the show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a friend of the show. Friend of the show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media. Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Follow me over on Facebook. Asking the question, what motivates your support? Especially if it's a small amount, like $10 a month. I mean, let's face it, that's a small amount. You know, when we've got utility bills that are $200 a month, right? And that's for one utility, and that's for when your electric bill is that. $10 a month is not that much. When your cell phone bill is $250 a month for your family, $10 a month is not much. So asking the question, do you look for that tax break, or do you think, this is something I like, I'm going to support it, I realize what it's about, I'm going to do this? Just curious. And especially if it's something that you don't have to pay for, which I probably should have put in the question. You don't have to pay for this to get it. You're just asked to support. Right? It's what we do with the friend of the show. That's the primary reason why I'm asking. Because we're not a 501c3. You don't get a tax break here. But it helps the shows out. It helps our hosts, especially for many of us who have been laboring through our startup mode of this organization, which, you know, some companies, huge companies, stay in startup for a long time and they don't cash flow for a long, long time. Now, generally speaking, they have millions and millions of dollars worth of investment capital that they're able to fuel that with. But, you know, that's what we did. We started with investment capital. We've pretty much almost, we're almost at the end of that. And as I've anticipated since the beginning, we pray that we'll be cash flowing by our one-year mark, which comes up very soon in October. But just curious about that friend of the show dynamic. Is it something, I mean, we know people are doing it, no doubt, that's being done, but what's the motivation? Is it, yes, I love this, I will support it? Is it, well, I don't know, it's a good cause and I get a tax break? So you can chime in over there on my Facebook page, Leo C. Brown. If you don't follow me, please do. Leo C. Brown on Facebook, asking that question. So I, in a rare move on my behalf, I posted a non-anti-Donald Trump post. I think that's the best way I can say it. It's a non-anti-Donald Trump. It's not a positive Donald Trump necessarily, but it is a non-anti. Because, you know, I saw all these crazy things like, he's talking to Christians and he says something about, I can change America, I can make America great again, and I can do it without a silly cross. Now, when I saw that, I'm like, that doesn't sound like Donald Trump. I know he's outrageous, but that just does not sound like Donald Trump. So I went to the knower of all knowledge, Snopes.com, and by a quick reference to that, they clearly discredit this claim that that ever happened. And so I posted that out there and said, come on, you know, just because I don't like someone does not mean I want them slandered, which anyone falsely accused, anyone, I don't care who it is, if you're falsely accused, we need to come to your defense, right? We have to come to the defense of those who are falsely accused because it's false. We have, if we truly stand for truth, if we believe that, or if we make that claim, and I hear that a lot, especially from Catholics, well, it's all about truth. Okay, well, then make everything about truth. If that's your platform, don't just make it, well, I'm at the Catholic truth. I don't care about the truth. No, if that's justice, right? We talk a lot about virtue on this show, and justice is a virtue. Justice says you stand for principles even if they seem to step outside of your cultural bubble or your whatever compartment that you've decided to put things in. This is where, you know, Mark Shea caught a lot of heat. His one of his show co-hosts, Simca Fisher, recently caught heat because they seem to step outside of boxes. And all it takes is enough complaints and enough threats of donations or subscriptions. And I know how it works. I've been in this business a long time, and I've watched these dynamics happen. But there's something about both of them that is a consistent ethic that says, regardless of where, they're going to uphold that same attitude, whatever it happens to be, of focusing on truth. And, you know, so for me, I have to put my money where my mouth is, and I have to say, look, if I value truth, which I do, absolutely I do, if I value truth, I have to value truth anywhere and everywhere and realize it's not just about the things I like. So when Donald Trump, who I do not support, and when I don't support Trump, does not mean I automatically support Clinton, but when he's falsely accused, I'm going to come in, I'm going to step in. Which certainly takes us back to a consistent ethic on life issues. Yeah, and I bought this for a long time, that there was something politically divided, and that if you were not, if you didn't have this like imbalanced focus on unborn humans, literally that was the key. That's it. If you didn't have such an imbalanced focus there, that you really weren't a pro-life individual. Now, primary does not mean weighted. It does not mean, when we put something primary, primary means first, right? It's primary, the primacy. It's the first in line. It does not mean that there's something that now, because this is primary, it's more important than everything else. No, primary simply means it has to be the very first thing. It has to be, right? The primary colors. Why are they primary colors? Because this is where we mix all the other shades. They have to be the first. They're the ones there at the beginning. So there has to be a primacy. But I think that for whatever reason, pro-lifers have taken that primacy dynamic and said, primary means bigger and better and more important than anything else. No, it's just a hinge. I explained this in a Facebook post recently. We got to understand the hinge point, but a hinge without a door is just a hinge. You can't have a door without a hinge. You got no door. You got a board that's just going to fall down. But if you have a primary hinge, which you put on before you put the door on, and now you've got a wonderful way for the door to close and open, now you've understood what a hinge does. It's primary. So the life of the unborn is primary, undoubtedly, because without that, that's the beginning, right? This is the where it all originates. But it can't end there. And now, granted, I know that there's the other side of the equation of those who tend to lean pretty left in their ideologies, and they'll say things like, well, it's one thing for a baby to be born, it's another thing for them to be supported. Well, sure. But see, now we're in these crazy mutual exclusive worlds, which I also mentioned this on my Facebook page. If this is where you are in your politics, that if you're convinced a person who happens to be, if you're a right-leaning person and the left-leaning person is evil, or if you're a left-leaning person, the right-leaning person is evil, which I know there's plenty of that garbage going on right now, what I've recommended is that you look in the mirror to find that enemy you're searching for. Because there's the evil, right? Because now you've reduced humanity, you've objectified a human person into an ideology, into an inanimate existence. And really what you're doing is political pornography. And that may sound crazy, but it's true. There's a reductionism to the point of this human life, this dignity of this human life, I have devalued because of a political ideology that I've attached to and in my world decided to define as evil. Therefore, this person is evil. That's what you've done. And it's no different than pornography that says, here's a person who has no worth other than what I attach to them through lust, objectifying this individual to the point of utilitarian means of my own. Tell me how that's different than you constructing an enemy out of an individual because of a political ideology. Political pornography. That's what I'm going to call it. So in all of this, we have to be consistent. There has to be, my goodness, there has to be. I mean, this is one of the problems I have with Trump, right? He's ridiculously inconsistent. There are people who will argue all day long, no, he says what he means. Really? What he means when? At that particular moment, when he was under pressure and in an interview or at a rally, when he's shooting from the hip and not really thinking about what he's saying, because he has been all over the map just in this election cycle. He's been ridiculously all over the map throughout his professional career. And again, I'm willing to give anyone the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what, hey, I know what it means. I've been in different places, but you know, I think anyone who knows me, even go all the way back. I mean, I've got my 30th high school reunion coming up. It's an anniversary of me graduating high school, yes. But I still have friends from high school who know me and know that I've always had, even in some of my wilder days, I still had a consistent ethic that I still have today. And you know, I didn't understand the dynamism that is a part of the Catholic faith, which I've grown to love at that time, but I still had an ethic of saying people are darn important, right? We got to treat them with all respect. Back with more in just a moment. Leo Brown Almost Hour, back after this.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown, happy to be with you. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Follow me on Facebook, Leo C. Brown. You'll see this interesting story that I posted from Drudge Report. Social isolation is as bad for your health as smoking. Interesting look here at what just being alone does to one's health. And as you read the story, you'll see it's less about, oddly enough, it's less about what the interaction is important, but it's also about having this network and not just being able to name friends, but to know that there's something, as I see, and I think that the article is superficial and we'll get to where I think it's going or where I think the depth of this really could be, because it basically says, it's not so much about, well, I know so-and-so and so-and-so. It's like, what do they really think about me? So it has to come down to value. And this is something I tell, you know, I work with clients a lot. I work with businesses. And I said, like, you've got to bring value to the table. That's what everything is about. Why do businesses succeed? Why do products succeed? It's value. Now, that value might be price, might be, but generally it's in the delivery. What is it that is this product that we can trust? And, you know, there are, I know the chains, national chains, oftentimes will get mocked for, because, well, the product is not good as the local guy. You know, the McDonald's burger is nowhere near as good as the guy who is handcrafting these things and cooking them one by one, whatever, rather than on an assembly line sort of deal. But my question is, have you had a Big Mac? Because it's pretty darn good, right? I mean, how can you say that? How can you say, well, that's just garbage? No. Have you had McDonald's fries? It's like crack, right? Yeah, I can't eat enough of those. That and a vanilla shake, I could eat probably a McDonald's bag, not just the large fry. Like, fill that thing. I want fries at McDonald's, like Five Guys. Five Guys fries aren't McDonald's fries. Five Guys, I'll eat their fries. I like them, right? And especially because they do fill that bag full, and you leave there going, oh my goodness, why did I do that to myself? But McDonald's is good. Don't tell me it's not. So there's value there. And it's relatively cheap, right? It's affordable. And it's fast. They put the fast in fast food. You get through it pretty darn quickly. So don't tell me that there's not value. There's value. That value is in a combination of elements. Now, if I've got 20 minutes for lunch and I need to meet someone for a meeting, knock it out and eat all at the same time, I'm probably not going to go to the local place that I know I can't get in and out of in less than an hour. I'm not going to do that. But I might say, hey, you know what? Let's just meet at McDonald's and grab some real quick. We can get through this and we'll go. Yeah, value there as well. So it always comes down to value. So this is true of personal brands as well. And we all have one. We all have a personal brand. It's kind of what I was talking about in the last segment. This consistency that people can trust in you and they can know, you know what? There's going to be a delivery from this product that is a person. And I don't, when I say that, I'm not saying that to reduce dignity. That's not the case, because this is actual, this is how you, if you really want to have personal dignity, where you're not questioning your own ethics, which we can all do at times, especially if we know we're not ethical, right? But if you really want to do this for yourself, this is the hinge. Back to the hinge point. Social isolation, I wish I could read. As bad for your health as smoking, this is what the iNewspaper, online iNews, has posted. My thought in this is, as it talks about this isolationism that comes, there's a lot of self-worth tied into this. And I think that there are people who could be alone forever and never question what people think of them. But there are people who could be alone for a moment and not feeling like they're connected or really in this world of constant connectedness and question, does anyone care about me? I haven't had a response to my Facebook post in the past hour. Nobody cares. I mean, really, there are those who can get depressed over things like that, and it can be a major issue because they doubt their self-worth. So here's the solution, which the article does not get into. The solution is simply that we as individuals, because we have created self-worth because of our contribution, we know we're on a mission. We're on a personal mission. Our personal mission is intrinsically connected to the will of God. If you were there, and I don't mean it in some like crazy, like I'm on a mission from God, you know, we're going to make a movie about it. But generally, every decision you make, you weigh in this mission mindset, which is pretty simple. I mean, it's beatitudes, it's virtue, it's looking at the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit that is evident in your life. We got some easy overlays to put into what we're doing to say, this is how we arrive at that. And let's say that you really couldn't even get the whole God thing. Like, oh no, that kind of stuff. You know, I got a 9-year-old. We talk about this kind of stuff. He's at that point where he's like, well, where did God come from? How could that, you know? And I love these kind of conversations because I ask all those questions as well. Now we got someplace to go. We can really dig into this and begin to examine stuff. And that's great, right? It's great to have those kind of conversations. So even if that's out of the equation, just look at the logic, the simple logic that is there when you examine something like fruit of the Spirit, right? If your life looks like that, if people see those things in you, there's going to be, you should have a tremendous amount of appreciation for the fact that you're bearing that fruit. And you're not going to do it alone. You got to have the grace of God. But even if God's out of the equation, if you just work for that, amazing things can happen. If you look at the Beatitudes and you realize that this is a call, this is the new covenant, this is our call. And I've shared this before, but it took Pope Benedict XVI to teach me that, right? Before I kind of thought, well, if you happen to fall into one of those categories, that's great. And maybe there's one of those, one of the nine that kind of will resonate with us. And if we can get into that mode, then great. But that's not what it's about. It's all of the entire Beatitude, beatitudinal command is a call to discipleship. And if we live in that world of really having that type of connectedness, amazing things can happen. So we got to realize that, you know, we have these opportunities that are all around us. We can embrace this virtue, simple virtue. You know, are you prudent in your decisions? Do people look at you and think, yeah, we can count on this individual? There's something judicious about the way they approach things. There's something that is, this individual has fortitude that we've seen them, even through the tough stuff, remain consistent. We see joy in them. And if you can be that, if you can do that, then I think that there's a confidence. I've mentioned this many times. Faith is not about this go out and conquer the world boldness. You're going to, you know, knock down the barriers and, you know, that kind of stuff is, as I've said before, it's wolf hunting type stuff. It's not sheep finding. But I can stand in utmost confidence that I'm going to find sheep if I look. And if I trust God, if I listen to others, if I engage in collaboration, if I find ways to really connect this dynamic, I am going to find sheep, and there's going to be success in that. Look at what Mother Teresa, soon to be canonized, Blessed Teresa of Calcutta, look what she did. She found sheep everywhere, sheep that others just stepped on, walked over, because of this caste system. What a beautiful place to express the grace of Catholicism, of the way we see human dignity. Go to and you don't have to go to a caste system, right? You don't have to go to India to see this, because it's in our own backyard, right? It's right in our own town, where there are people who are less than, or at least considered such. Amazing place to find sheep. And that less than could be because they have behavioral challenges. It could be because they're homeless. It could be because they're repeat offenders. It could be because they're atheists. It could be because they're liberals. It could be because they're, you know, name it, whatever. The list of things that you despise. But it's really a good place to start. If you find yourself with an intense dislike of something or someone, it's really a good place to start. Because now that might be what God is truly calling you to do, is to minister to them, meaning be there with some sort of resourcing. But it's interesting, you look at social isolation, nobody needs to be isolated. You can be alone, absolutely, but we can be alone in this confidence of trust that what you're doing is what you're called to do, and that through the grace of God, we know we're not alone in that dynamic, and hey, you know, it's going to be seen that you're trying to accomplish something, not for yourself, but to make sure others are taken care of in that dynamic. Pretty cool stuff. So we have time for, I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown, almost hour. God bless you.